From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Detroit authorities are investigating a second incident aboard Northwest Airlines Flight 253, the same flight on which there was an attempted attack on Christmas Day. A spokeswoman for Delta, Northwest's parent company, confirms authorities have taken custody of a passenger described as verbally disruptive. There were no reports of injuries among the passengers who were taken off the flight. The plane is currently being searched. Delta is not confirming any other possible similarities to the foil terror plot on Christmas. Meanwhile, more details are emerging about the Nigerian man behind the alleged terrorist attack on Christmas. NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton has details.
The family of 23-year-old Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab belongs to the Nigerian elite from the same northern Muslim state as the country's president. Abdulmutallab's father, Alhaji Umaru Mutallab, is a wealthy and well-connected banker. His son led a privileged life, reportedly studying engineering at London's prestigious University College. Media reports said the family had become alarmed by young Abdulmutallab's radical political and religious views. His father was apparently so concerned that he notified the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria about his son. Despite being on the authorities' security radar, the accused held a valid American visa and flew from Lagos to Amsterdam before boarding Northwest Flight 253 to Detroit on Christmas Day. Afabia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Amid concerns that warnings about Abdulmutallab may have been ignored before Friday's incident, the White House says it's reviewing how terror watch lists are drawn up and used. Meanwhile, the administration is trying to calm fears over flying, saying it is still safe to fly. Opposition websites in Iran reporting at least four protesters have been killed by Iranian police. Official Iranian news outlets dispute the accounts of widespread protests during a religious holiday. NPR's Deborah Amos has more from Istanbul.
Cell phone pictures of tear gas attacks and a protester covered in blood have circulated on the internet. Iran's police chief warned he would arrest the leaders of what he called illegal gatherings. His comments, released on an official news site, also included a caution to police. "We will use minimum violence," he said. But opposition websites reported deaths on the street and protests across 10 cities. The reports can't be independently confirmed, but more than a dozen protesters have died in clashes since the disputed election 6 months ago. Those deaths set up a cycle of funerals and more unrest. This latest challenge to the authorities comes during Ashura, an important and emotionally charged religious holiday. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Istanbul.
In the U.S., flood advisories are in effect for large parts of the country hit by heavy snow and rains. This is NPR. Dennis Brute, a South African poet and anti-apartheid activist who served time on Robben Island with Nelson Mandela, has died of prostate cancer at the age of 85. NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt reports.
Dennis Brutus fought South Africa's white minority regime with words and deeds, causing him to be banned from the country in 1961. He left but was deported back and nearly killed by South African police as he attempted to escape. He was published while on Robben Island, including his poem Somehow We Survive and the book Sirens, Knuckles, and Boots. His activism caused the white-led minority regime to be banned from international sports competition for 30 years. Released from Robben Island, Brutus went to the United States, where President Ronald Reagan tried to have him deported, but he was unsuccessful, and Brutus remained teaching at various universities, including Northwestern and the University of Pittsburgh. His latest campaign involved criticizing South Africa for not being tough enough at the Copenhagen climate talks. Charlene Hunter-Galt, NPR News, Johannesburg.
Thousands of Hamas loyalists in Gaza have been commemorating the first anniversary of a war that killed more than 1,400 Palestinians and 13 Israelis. A year ago, Israel carried out a three-week offensive against militants after a string of rocket attacks against the Jewish state. Hamas loyalists called for a minute of silence for slain Palestinians, but many chose not to stop, reflecting dissent among Gazans critical of Hamas's leadership. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is praising the military for its pre-dawn raid in the West Bank yesterday that led to the deaths of three Palestinians. The Israeli army says it had killed militants linked to the death of an Israeli settler last week. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.